Welcome to Postscript. My name is Dave, one of the pastors here at Compass Point, and with me again today is Pastor Chris.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chris?
I'm great. Glad to be back.
Oh, glad to have you. And we are continuing another one of these practice series, and we are in fasting. We're talking about fasting. I hope you've had a chance to listen to last week and listen to the sermon last week and the sermon again this week, and we're going to dig in, talk a little bit about how fasting is an invitation into holiness.
Yeah.
So why don't you give us a little recap from Sunday?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're continuing along, talking about these different reasons or motivations for followers of Jesus to fast. So this week, we talked a bit about what's happening in our bodies when we fast. Mm-hmm. I started off with that and just kind of my best understanding. I'm not an expert or anything, but we were able to explore that a little bit. And then we talked about this idea that fasting is used by God, often to speak to us about the brokenness in our lives, you know, about a sin perhaps in our lives, and how there's an opportunity for us by saying no to something that's good, you know, learning this discipline of saying no to things that aren't good.
Yeah.
And growing in this holiness or this separateness or this representation of God, this flourishing that he wants to do in our lives. And so, yeah, that was kind of what we talked about on Sunday.
Okay. Amazing. Let's instead of digging right into that, let's talk about how fasting went last week.
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk a little bit about your experience and my experience.
Yeah,
so you fasted on Friday.
I did. I fasted on Friday. So I kind of planned that throughout the week. My wife and I both chose the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting experience for sure. I mean, it's been a long time since I've actually fasted.
I love that word, interesting.
Interesting, yeah. Yeah. And I don't think I've ever fasted as a regular practice. You know, I fasted as kind of as a one-off thing. Remember way back in the youth group days, the 30-hour famine.
30-hour famine.
You know, so fasting, you know, along with the poor, or fasting in a, during a season of prayer or something like that. But I've never had a regular practice of fasting. So it was good, mostly, I would say. I thought about food a lot on Friday.
Yep.
You know, like everywhere I turned, there was another reminder of what I wasn't eating or
temptation,
things like
right?
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was interesting that that was increased in my life that day. I will say, though, and I don't know if it was partly just the newness of the experience, you know, and the excitement of trying it, but I will say that my attention turned to God a lot. You know, I began the day when I woke up knowing I was going to be fasting that day and just was able to pray, God, sustain me today, you know, like walk with me through this day of fasting. I found that when I was, you know, thinking about food, I would kind of put that temptation aside and I would, you know, just pray a very short prayer. And then even later in the day, I found myself turning to praying for my kids, praying for our church, just again, not, you know, long, long prayers, but so it was really interesting to see how that worked. As the day went on, I got hungrier, not painfully. You know, I wasn't feeling like I was being damaged in any way, but just more aware of not eating. And sundown couldn't come fast enough. We were counting down.
Yeah. Did you like look up what time is sundown? What minute is the sun officially down?
I did not do that, but my wife Holly and I, we did talk about like, wow, we're glad it's winter time, you know, the season of the year that it is, because it's going to get darker faster.
Because it's rough in summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. How productive did you find yourself at the end of the work day? Or were you trying to work at the end of your fast day?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I don't think it was a huge distraction.
Okay.
At the end of the day, I know for my wife, you know, not to share too much without her here, but I think she said that, you know, in her busier part of the day, it was easier.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later in the day, it got harder. And I know as we were sharing with our community group on Sunday, some of the folks there that are kind of the main food preparers in their home, they're saying like, I'm fasting. And yet I'm preparing food for everyone else who wasn't choosing to fast.
Yes.
And like, that was rough.
That's hard.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
that's, so that really brings it home when you're like smelling the smells of the food and sitting
I'm
right there.
And,
you're like,
I can't even eat this.
So right? a little bit of proof of how doing it in community or doing it together can be really helpful too.
Yeah. And I would sometimes encourage those people, like, let everyone else prepare their own food. Like, maybe it's time to go hang out in the basement.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. Good transition though. Cause you guys as a family, I think you all chose to fast together on Tuesday.
Did.
I think
on
it was.
Tuesday.
So tell us about how that went.
It was good. Yeah. Our kids joined us, which we were still are like excited about, but also a little like, what is your motivation here? Right. Like, and I ask that question of my kids and then I'm like, I should be asking that myself too. I think, yeah, we all responded a little bit differently. I think both Rachel and I had headaches later in the day, you know, which is pretty normal from what I've read in fasting. There's a lot of kind of the detoxing that happens.
Absolutely.
So, I would describe it similarly to you. My attention was often drawn to God, but it was first drawn to myself almost every time. Right. Like it was like, I am so like clearly addicted to sugar and caffeine and these other things. And like, I am like, wow, I'm really distracted by my own hunger. And I'm really quick to just appease myself.
Yeah.
And so like, I had a lot of those moments and then I was like, oh man, God, like help me and help me to bring this to you more often. Help me to like not just do what I want. Help me not to be Lord over my own life, which is expressed in food, in one of the ways. So that was, it was good. I mean, we did not get all the way to sundown. I think we were like, okay, we're going to, and like, we were trying to balance with the kids and eating together.
100%.
But even then we had a fairly simple meal, but like, after it, I was like, I think I ate too much. Like I wanted food so much that I think that's one of the interesting things. Like the day of fasting was really good. And obviously it's been almost a week since we did it. We're going to do it again tomorrow. and like, it was a great invitation. It wasn't all that pleasant, but also wasn't really that bad. But I've become more aware of my eating habits since then.
Right.
Like yeah, just kind of taking that time has made me like, oh, like, am I eating because I need to eat? Am I eating because I want to eat? Like,
right.
And it's somehow even, yeah, there's echoes of that, like calling back to myself and then to God that have happened continually. So I can see how this is a practice would actually change, I think would change a lot in me, which is, I'll say rare for me to experience kind of on week one of any practice.
Yeah,
I'm like, normally I'd be like, that was terrible and I never want to do it again. Whereas I'm actually kind of like, oh no, that was good.
Right.
And I think that probably also speaks to my, and I'll maybe our, and you can opt in or not, kind of relationship with our bodies. Like we do have this weird thing in the West where we like, we know we should be healthier. We want to be healthier and we want to like do these things. And there's this weird, there's this weird tangled web with fasting around like, of course I want to eat less so I can lose some weight. Mm-hmm. Right. And I can feel better.
Right.
And I can draw my attention to God and like, all of those things are actually good.
Yeah.
How they interact is really interesting. So just, it was a great experiment and it was neat to even hear our kids, how they, I mean, we all kind of interacted with the people we were with. So like their friends would like offer them a cookie and they'd be like, no, I'm actually fasting today.
Right.
And have to have that conversation without bragging about it and being like, oh, you know, and maybe some of us, I'm thinking maybe if my son were a little more groany than the rest. and that like, hey, I get it, but it was, I would say it was a good experience. It wasn't an easy experience.
There's so much I want to say, you know, based on just what you've described. Number one is I think I'm quite prepared that it might get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that first day I was honestly kind of excited about it, you know? Like I said, I mean, we're so fortunate in the space and place that we live that many of us, you know, are very well fed. And so, you know, to go for a short time without food maybe isn't creating that kind of real negative physical experience that that others might experience. Now, if that was you, then I'm sorry. I realize for some it might be different.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think preparing for that. I think too, for those of you that are listening, maybe that didn't make it, you know, maybe tried and really never got going or tried it and really didn't make it far into the day. I would just encourage you to try it again. Mm-hmm. I talked with several people on Sunday who were like, either, you know what, I tried and I just couldn't make it through, or who were like, I did it, but oh, it was so difficult. And I was just found myself praying over and over and over throughout the day, God help me.
Yeah.
And I thought that was amazing because, you know, to have this opportunity to go to God, you know, dozens of times throughout the day and just ask for his help is an opportunity for us to be refocused and redirected towards God and our relationship with him. So even in the quote unquote failure
yeah.
of the fasting experience. It was really changing the way that we were thinking about God and interacting with God and the intimacy that we have with God. And so I think what a wonderful gift, you know, that that is, even in maybe not getting through the entire day or struggling through the entire day. So
yeah,
there's some real hope and promise there.
I mean, again, I think there's something for me, the thing that I learned most wasn't like that my attention was instantly drawn to God. It's that it was first drawn back to myself.
Yeah.
And like what that has taught me, even just trying it once, which and then learning how to redirect that attention back to God. But I think like failure does that.
Yeah.
Even like, hey, if you didn't try, cause you're like, no, I could never do that. I don't want to do that. Like take a minute and think about that, like draw some attention back to yourself and like, and you know, bring that to God, whatever that is. And there's no, yeah, there's no guilt or shame there. It's just, I think there's an invitation in these practices just to pay attention.
Yeah. Well, what I learned too, is that not only from my experience, hearing your experience, talking to others, but also some of the things that I've been reading and learning as I've been exploring this, is that fasting does have this power to throw off our equilibrium in the best possible way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to hear that even in this first try of this practice, that our day looked totally different, you know, our mindset was different, kind of the way we interacted with God was different, the way we interacted maybe with others was different, with food, with our own bodies was different. I mean, that's pretty amazing to think that, you know, our day was changed so dramatically by this short practice of not eating food for a few hours. And I think when we engage in some of these practices like silence, solitude, Sabbath, fasting, they throw us off in a way that kind of makes us reorient the way that we think and act. And isn't that exactly what they're supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know, an opportunity for us to kind of change our mindset, to reorder our priorities, and begin to think differently about ourselves and about God. So I'm really excited to try it some more and see how God can continue to use that reordering in my life for something really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't think you're saying in any way that it's easy or that it feels great. Because like, I know, again, in our house, like, was the word hangry used before dinner a number of times as people maybe spoke more harshly with each other than they should have? Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Like it was not. I mean, I asked you the question about work and did you have a hard time? By the end of the day, I was like, I have a headache. I don't feel great. Like I am not productive.
Yeah.
So like if that was you or you had a worse experience or you failed, like, that's okay.
Yeah. And you're totally right. I mean, I think part of what we talked about on Sunday with regard to holiness is that, you know, sometimes we do need to do hard things for some kind of long-term benefit. So, you know, I quickly threw out this reference to cold plunging. So I've never tried a cold plunge. I don't know, have you?
No.
Okay. So I've
done the cold shower thing.
Cold shower. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, cold plunging is a huge trend right now, right? There's a little bit of debate about the benefits of it, but a lot of people would say, hey, you kind of shock your system, you shock your immune system, it can help with anxiety, it can help with, you know, your overall health and your heart health and things like that. And can really, really can be good for you, even your metabolism, losing weight, all kinds of things. So, but you have to get into an ice cold bath and stay in there, like, or you have to go and take a polar dip or whatever to do it. And so, you know, that's a tough thing for a lot of people to do, but why are they doing it? They're doing it because they believe there's some kind of benefit, right? So there's this kind of no pain, no gain mentality to it. And I don't think that God wants to cause us pain, but I think he does use sometimes painful situations or situations that can be difficult or challenging for us to grow us in our faith, in our you know, mind, body, spirit, so that we can be more aligned to the way of Jesus. And so the invitation to these practices isn't necessarily an invitation to do something easy.
Right.
It's an invitation to do something that can be difficult, but to do it knowing that the ultimate goal is not just checking a box and saying, oh, I did that.
Right.
And not even for fasting, it's not even losing weight or better health, but it's actually greater communion with God.
Right.
And that's something that I deeply desire in my life.
I think that's one of the things that the stories of the quote unquote heroes of the Bible teach us, right? Because like there are no real heroes of the Bible beyond Jesus. There are people who wrestled with God in one way or another and dealt with all kinds of crazy stuff and who God used and God worked in their life and they were open to that, or they failed. Actually, most of them failed a lot, right? And I think that's like, yeah, we read the Bible not as an inspiration to, like, I don't know. I feel like we often come to the stories that we know and we're like, oh, look at, you know, Daniel who prayed to God and then was saved from the lion's den. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, yeah, absolutely. But like, look at Daniel who had to remain faithful for ? For how many years doing crazy hard things. Mm-hmm. Look at Joseph who was sold into slavery and like yeah. all kinds of things. And I think that's, yeah, there's an invitation into the hardness of life. Mm. Like we live in a world that requires things to be hard. And I think we're in a unique moment where we're surrounded by things that, we're surrounded by technologies and things that attempt to make it easy. And I'm not always sure they're yeah. wise for us as followers of Jesus to like buy into.
Well, that's why, you know, these practices are countercultural practices, yeah. right? We live in a culture that is naturally, you know, prone to the quickest and easiest way for me to be satisfied.
Microwaves. Right?
We talked just very briefly about this thing called the pleasure principle on yeah. Sunday, right? So that, you know, everything I'm doing in my life is at first, you know, my most natural desire is to kind of bring myself some kind of pleasure. And so, you know, these practices are counter to that.
Yeah.
And so instead of being formed increasingly to seek pleasure and kind of instant gratification, we're actually mm-hmm. being counterformed, you know, formed more into the way of Jesus. And so, you know, I talked a little bit about St. Augustine, right? And this quote that something he said was that it's sometimes necessary to check the delight of the flesh in respect to licit pleasures. So in other words, things mm-hmm. that are okay, things yep. that are good,
yep.
In order to keep it from yielding to illicit pleasures or illicit mm. joys, things that are bad. And so this practice of fasting is kind of saying no to something that is good so that I can learn a greater discipline to say no to things that are bad. And so that's really where this idea of holiness comes in, right? That I'm growing in my ability to become more and more like God in my separateness and in the way that he wants me to be. So if I can kind of train my body and through my body, train my mind and train myself to say no to something that's a pretty good thing like food.
Yeah.
But something I can overindulge in, something that can kind of overpower my will and something that can drive me, that I can learn to say no to other things that are tempting me, other things that want to drive me, other things that want to overpower me or maybe take me away from love.
Right.
And so in that sense, I can use a practice like fasting, or God can use a practice like fasting in me to grow me in holiness or grow me in goodness and remove sin and brokenness and cycles of, you know, kind of destruction in my life.
Hmm. Yeah. And I like, again, part of what was so interesting for me of engaging in this, like I never would have said like, oh, I overindulge in food all the time. Like I know I do, but like I have self-control. I can like, and fasting kind of revealed in me, like maybe you don't, Dave. Maybe that's a delusion that you like, I know I can say no, but I'm just going to keep saying yes.
Well, it's right? levels Which of is, self-control. I mean, right. come on, yeah, like yeah, you have yeah. more self-control than others. Like, well, you know, I don't have self-control, so no,
but
I was prepared for that answer.
There's something really, really, I have found really good about that.
Yeah.
And not harsh, but
yeah,
but needed.
Yeah.
Which I, yeah, super appreciate about this. Anything else you want to touch on around the holiness, around kind of as we engage this week?
I mean, there's a podcast with Practicing the Way. And obviously, you know, hopefully people know that we use a lot of Practicing the Way content, not only for the messages that are being preached, but for the resources that we're offering and some of the learning that we're doing as well as we kind of walk us through this conversation. But in the podcast around fasting and holiness, there's a story that one of the guys on there speaks about from a Henry Nouwen book called The Genesee Diary. And this is a book about how Nouwen spent 7 months living with monks, trying to learn what it was like to live yeah. in the lifestyle of a monk. It's a monastery in upstate New York. And he was with a guy named John Ood, and they were talking. And I just found it so fascinating to listen to their conversation, so I'd encourage you to go listen to that. But one of the things that was really interesting that John Ood said to Nouwen, he said, you know, when you live in that kind of environment and you're saying no to just kind of the instant gratification of things, that there's a part of you that kind of regresses is the word that he used. And I kind of got stuck on that word. But he says that, you know, you fall apart a little bit in a sense.
Yeah.
And so there's a bit of chaos that happens, or these hard feelings that happen. But he said, there's also a part of you that becomes available for spiritual direction so that you can find a place for prayer and the ascetical life. And so I thought, what great wisdom that was, you know, to think that there's maybe a regression that happens from our norm or our natural, and yet it opens us up to a life with God that is just full of promise and hope. And so I think I would just leave us with that thought, you know, to continue to explore fasting as a place of promise and hope, a place where we can meet God and make space for him. So
amazing. Yeah. Well, we'll be back next week. We'll be talking about our week two's experiment.
Yeah,
with this.
Sounds good.
And if you've got questions or thoughts, or you think we're wrong about something, reach out. We'd love to include you in the conversation, whatever way. Thanks for listening to Postscript. We'll be back next week with more.